Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, July 18th. According to the Durango Herald, floods and mudslides struck the burn scar area from the 416 fire on Tuesday afternoon. Significant debris flowed across U.S. Highway 550, forcing closure of the highway north of Durango. The flooding was first reported around 5:15 p.m. and caused problems well into the evening. Highway 550 was closed near the East Animas Road intersection. It was partially reopened as of 8:45 p.m. Significant debris flowed across Highway 550, railroad tracks, and the East Animas Road, County Road 250, north of Durango. A Durango and Silverton narrow-gauge train carrying about 400 passengers was blocked on the tracks near the Shalona Hill Bridge. At about 7:20 p.m., three buses were en route from Durango to pick up the passengers, though more trips were likely needed. A KOA campground was evacuated near East Animas Road and U.S. Highway 550, one of the first places to report flooding. About 200 campers were bused to the La Plata Fairgrounds, where the Red Cross set up a shelter. No injuries were reported as of 8:30 p.m., and it's unclear how much property damage may have occurred. Firefighters were investigating two reported gas leaks, one at the KOA campground and one on East Animas Road. Flooding also occurred 10 miles west of Pagosa Springs, and U.S. Highway 160 was closed in both directions as a result of significant mudslides. The highway was closed from about 4:45 to 8:30 p.m. Here is the second part of a five-part series about water issues in the Southwest and the Colorado River. This five-part series examines five specific communities in the Southwest and highlights conservation efforts as the Colorado River slows to a trickle during this ongoing drought season. Today, Tucson, Arizona. It used to be a city of lawns, kept green, even in blazing summer months, by frequent watering. Over the decades, though, that has changed. Today, Tucsonans eschew lush lawns for landscaping that is more in tune with the city's desert setting. As Arizona Public Media's Vanessa Barchfield reports, that doesn't necessarily mean there's no green.
Hector.
Hi.
My name is Hector Mendoza. I'm with the Artificial Grass Superstore. And what we're doing today is we're doing a artificial lawn area right next to a pool.
It's early, but Mendoza and his team have already been at it for a few hours.
We try to get here as early as possible. You know, today is going to be 109.
By the time the sun sinks today, Mendoza's team will have transformed this backyard from a dirt lot into an artificial green oasis.
Can I step on it?
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Mendoza says business these days is good, and most customers come to him for one reason.
Just the cost of the water and maintenance. I mean, we don't foresee any cost on water going down.
Whether or not they go the artificial route, Tucsonans have been ripping out their real grass for the past four decades. Here's Tucson Water Department's Fernando Molina.
It starts in the 40s and 50s when we had a lot of growth here in Tucson, but not a lot of investment was made in the infrastructure.
So then come the 70s, and people who moved here from other parts of the country start feeling water stress for the first time.
People were coming home at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, turning on their irrigation systems, probably doing their laundry as well, putting a big burden on the distribution system, and we simply could not pump the water out of the ground fast enough to meet these high demands.
Tucson Water launched a public information campaign called Beat the Peak to get people to water their lawns less.
The original slogan was, never water between 4 and 8.
And in the late 70s, the city council adopted a new rate structure for water use. As people used more water, the unit cost would go up. That move was so unpopular that all the city council members who voted for it were recalled. But the rate structure, it stayed in place. And it's still the law of the land today. Molina says it really has nudged people to change their landscaping.
The desert landscaping ethic has really taken hold here. We are 10 years ahead of most communities in Arizona in terms of even thinking about that, 20 years ahead in terms of actually doing something about it.
And that has driven down Tucson's per capita water use from about 160 gallons per day in 1980 to just more than 120 gallons per day last year. Pima County Master Gardeners is one of a number of organizations that promote low water use landscaping and xeriscaping, says the program's Eric Johnson.
The seven principles of xeriscape are common sense things like design, using desert adapted plants, having an efficient watering system. Those kinds of things, which sort of are no-brainers to longtime Tucsonans, really help to have a successful, beautiful garden and to save a great deal of water.
He stresses that xeriscaping does not mean xeriscaping, and his group is here to teach residents about the rich landscaping options here in the desert.
One of the most visible ways we do that is with our demonstration garden. We like to think that it is the biggest master gardener run demonstration garden in the Southwest.
One is hesitant to be the only one on their block or on their street to take out a lawn and put in a rock and a very different form of landscape.
Steve Grady is a landscape architect.
But in Tucson, it really took hold, and it took hold in a large way. So much of landscape is based on fashion.
Grady is an expert on the fashion of desert landscaping, but even he admits.
I did have a very small lawn area that I stopped planting over a year ago, and I just have let it go totally dormant.
His main motivation?
I am eager to bring my water bill down.
But it's not all about money.
I would like to be a little bit more in harmony with this desert environment.
We head outside to his garden to see what that harmony looks like.
If I look in the distance, I see a fig tree, a large chinaberry tree, some yuccas and some agaves. I have my raised vegetable garden.
There's no grass on the ground.
It's a huge tree.
But there is
Behind
a whole lot of green.
Cactus and succulent garden.
In Tucson, I'm Vanessa Barchfield.
This story is part of a collaborative series from KVNF, the Colorado River Reporting Project at KUNC, the Mountain West News Bureau, and Elemental, covering sustainability. A longtime advocate of oil and gas development will soon have a new job title. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, David Ludlum, who served for 8 years as executive director of the West Slope Oil and Gas Association, will be the head of public relations for Colorado Mesa University. Ludlum will start his new job on August 1st. He will be replacing Dana Nunn, a former Sentinel reporter who did public relations for CMU for over 20 years. Ludlum was chosen for the job out of some 80 candidates after a national search. He graduated from CMU and has deep family ties to the school. Susan Alvalar will replace Ludlum in an interim basis at the West Slope Oil and Gas Association. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.